the RAF Red Arrows have another fatal accident. A flight training organization in the UK has students holding their financial breath. And congratulations to Mayor Barb Tolbert. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, November 10th, 2011. The RAF Red Arrows jet demo team may be anxious to put the year 2011 behind it. For the second time in less than 3 months, a team member has been fatally injured. The latest case happened Tuesday about 11 a.m. local time, when 35-year-old Flight Lieutenant Sean Cunningham, a native of South Africa, was ejected while his BAE Systems Hawk T1 sat on the ground at RAF Scampton in Lincolnshire. The UK Ministry of Defence has ordered the grounding of all RAF aircraft fitted with a rocket-actuated Martin Baker Mark 10 ejection seat, according to the BBC. The suspension is expected to last for days, not weeks. Cunningham was a veteran of multiple tours of Iraq, an alumnus of Nottingham Trent University, and had been with the RAF since 2000. He flew with the 617 Dambuster Squadron, based at Lossiemouth. Just a few weeks ago, on August 20th, another team member was pronounced dead at the scene after attempting an ejection following an aircraft systems failure in his T1 at the Bournemouth Air Festival. A crisis which sounds a little bit like the Silver State Helicopters case in the U.S. is playing out now in the U.K. Cab Air International Aviation operates in multiple locations in the U.K., and also has a base in Kissimmee, Florida. Cab Air has been a training partner with Buckinghamshire New University for the last 7 years, according to Executive Dean Chris Kemp. On October 23rd, Cab Air reportedly suspended training operations as reports circulated of financial problems. The structure of the company is not simple to discern, with 11 or more companies registered in the UK which appear to be or have been related to the enterprise over the last 20 years. Students and others have been expressing concern on internet forums about how assets and liabilities might be shuffled around during any reorganization. As happened in the Silver State case in the U.S., students paid up front for training some now fear will not be received. Where the worst of the Silver State cases involved as much as $70,000 paid in advance before the school folded, some Cab Air students were enrolled in courses costing as much as £79,500. That's equivalent to over $126,000 U.S. at current exchange rates. Kemp told the Bedfordshire News, quote, "We have been in touch with all the students in our air transport programs to advise them of the situation. We are monitoring the situation and currently expect that all of our air transport students will be able to continue with their flight training as normal," unquote. Cab Air has reportedly told students that its flight training operation is expected to resume next week. China and the U.S. are competitors in many ways, but they're on the same side of the fight against the European Union's proposed emissions trading system for foreign airlines that's set to go into effect January 1st. China says its aviation watchdog Tuesday urged the European Union to drop the plan, while Chinese airlines plan to sue the EU over the scheme. An official with the Civil Aviation Administration of China, CAAC, who asked to remain anonymous, told the Xinhua news agency, quote, "We hope the EU will avoid this unilateral move, solve international aviation emissions issues on the basis of mutual respect and consensus, and promote the sustainable development of the industry," unquote. The CAAC says it welcomes and supports a similar resolution adopted by the International Civil Aviation Organization. Xinhua reports that according to the EU plan, airlines flying to or from the EU bloc will have to buy permits for 15% of the carbon emissions they generate during the entire flight, with large fines for noncompliance. The U.S. House of Representatives recently passed a bill seeking to prohibit U.S. airlines from paying the fees. China, like the U.S. and 24 other nations which have protested, holds that the EU's move is unilateral in nature and violates state sovereignty. Russia issued a joint statement with China in September, saying the move infringes upon other countries' sovereignty and burdens global air carriers. It is estimated that the ETS will cost Chinese airlines the equivalent of $123 million U.S. in the first year it goes into effect. We don't do a lot of coverage of off-year election returns here at ANN, but this one's a little different. We've learned that Barb Tolbert, who serves as executive director for the Arlington Fly-In near Seattle each summer, was elected mayor of Arlington Tuesday. Barb won 1,290 votes of the 2,365 cast in the race, or 54.55%. She defeated City Councilman Steve Baker in the race to succeed Margaret Larson, who retired after two terms in the office. The two candidates advanced to a runoff election and vote by mail balloting in August as the top vote-getters. As is the case in many small communities, the city budget was a leading issue in the campaign. Tolbert told the Everett Herald in October that she planned to poll people about city services to determine which ones the electorate thinks are essential and which ones could be handled by outside agencies or volunteers. And if there's one thing Barb knows better than most of us, it's how to make effective use of volunteers. Still ahead, the city of Phoenix earns an unwelcome aviation distinction. A Colorado museum honors the Tuskegee Airmen. And the FAA thinks GA is underreporting wildlife strikes. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero briefing for Thursday, November 10th. I'm Paul Platt. The state of Arizona is a great place for aviation. Lots of sunshine in VFR, a thriving Embry-Riddle campus at Prescott. But the state capital, Phoenix, also happens to lead the nation in boneheads with lasers pointing them at aircraft. Phoenix ranks first so far in 2011 with 96 reports through October 20th. Philadelphia is a close second at 95, with Chicago third at 83. Reports of lasers pointed at aircraft nationally have risen rapidly from about 300 in 2005 to 2,836 in 2010. The FAA blames a market flooded with cheap lasers, higher power levels that tempt users to light up aircraft at higher altitudes, and the introduction of green and blue lasers, which are more easily seen than red ones. The agency also credits its own efforts, started in 2005, to get pilots to report laser events to the nearest air traffic control facility and requiring facilities to immediately relay that information to local law enforcement agencies. In June of this year, the FAA announced it would start imposing civil penalties of up to $11,000 against people who interfere with a flight crew by pointing a laser into the cockpit of an aircraft. The agency is currently working on 18 civil penalty cases. The FAA also provided technical expertise to help Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, develop a law making it illegal to point lasers at aircraft. Myrtle Beach adopted its measure in September, joining a number of other cities and states that now have laws in place making it illegal to shine lasers at aircraft. The FAA says it is prepared to work with all law enforcement agencies to assist with criminal prosecutions. The state of Colorado is known for the Rocky Mountains, great skiing, and the Mile High City, but it also happens to be home to more surviving Tuskegee Airmen than any other state. On Saturday night, November 19th, the Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum in Denver's historic Lowry neighborhood is hoping for a good turnout at a gala to honor the 8 Red Tail Squadron members who reside in the state. The Tuskegee Airmen are marking their 70th anniversary as a unit this year. From the museum's website, quote, "You will have the privilege of meeting Tuskegee Airmen and hearing their stories firsthand. The Tuskegee Airmen, African American United States Army Air Force's pilots, flew and fought bravely during World War II. As members of the 332nd Fighter Group and the 477th Bombardment Group, their perseverance and bravery benefited our nation in ways that are still being lived out today." Unquote. Admission to the gala starts at $200 for museum members, $250 for non-members. The event will be emceed by the museum's ambassador to youth, a KUSA TV reporter who just happens to be named Amelia Earhart. The FAA recently launched a wildlife poster campaign for the GA community to increase wildlife strike reporting among this segment of aviation. For the last 50 years, the FAA has worked to reduce wildlife strikes at airports and periodically conducts studies to gauge the effectiveness of the program. The latest study shows that the general aviation population accounts for only 6% of total strikes reported. The FAA hopes to improve the reporting of strikes. This year's poster depicts a caution sign with a bird inside and the simple message to report wildlife strikes. The FAA wants to hear from airport sponsors on why reporting is low and encourage them to work with the FAA to increase reporting and reduce wildlife strikes. There's even a mobile app now to allow strike reporting via the web or personal data devices. You know, I don't know, but I have to ask, are we really under-reporting wildlife strikes in GA? Or could it just be that we're small enough and slow enough to be able to avoid more of them? And finally today, you might recall that in 2009, Canada was celebrating its own centennial of powered flight. A few years before the anniversary, a group of associations and government departments collaborated to create a website dedicated to the celebration at CanadianCentennialOfFlight.ca. The official Transport Canada website added a link to the celebration site, and all went well until the anniversary passed. Then, as often happens, the registration of the domain name was allowed to lapse, but the link stayed on Transport Canada's website. A sharp-eyed third party was waiting for the address to become available and registered CanadianCentennialOfFlight.ca for an entirely unrelated enterprise. And so, for a while, Transport Canada's site included a link to a provider of Turkish and American escort services. The Winnipeg Free Press reports the new owner of the domain apparently left the old site's content in place and simply added additional links to services such as Istanbul Escorts, Independent Escort Service, and Washington Escorts. The government has since forced the site to remove the official logos, so at least visitors will no longer be led to believe the government is involved. Some commenters on the Free Press website expressed the opinion that the Canadian government and call girls have enough in common in what they do to taxpayers that any confusion is insignificant. The new site is much plainer looking with all the logos gone, but the links to the special offers remain. Or so we're told. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.